The date is February 19th, year 2006. And this is my standard preparation for Lent sermon that we give every year. And we have to prepare ourselves for it, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to do it the proper way. We have to ask God to give us the help and the strength to make a good Lent, because if we don't prepare for it, we're not going to be able to do it, and it's not going to be pleasing to God. Now, we know in the Catholic faith, what I call the three pillars of the Catholic faith is prayers, learning the faith, and mortification, which is penance. Prayer is like gasoline in the car. Without prayer, you don't go nowhere. You know, Luke 18:1, pray least you shall enter into temptation, and pray without ceasing, in Luke 22:40. So it's without prayer, you cannot be saved. It's impossible. That's the very first duty you owe to God is prayer. And then the second duties are learning the faith and mortification and penance. Without those three things, you're not going to save your soul. You're going to go to hell. Period. You go to hell. You want to be saved, you got to pray, you got to learn your faith, and you got to do penance. And we know learning your faith, if you don't learn it, you're not going to, how can you have what you don't know? So if you don't learn the faith, how could you even call yourself Catholic? We read in Proverbs 17:16, he who refuses to learn will fall into evils. You know, so only those who sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth, adore the Father in spirit and truth, John 4:23, and John 17:17 was that first one. So without the faith and learning it, you can't have the faith. Without the Catholic faith, you can't be saved. The part we're going to emphasize today is, because we're coming up to Lent, is the part on penance and mortification. We have to give up things, and we have to give ourselves voluntary sufferings, as our Lord did, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:27, unless I chastise myself and bring my body into subjection, I will become a reprobate. I'm afraid I will become a reprobate. So the penance verses are throughout the Bible. We have Philippians 1:29, for Christ has given us not just to believe in him, but to suffer for him. And Luke 14:27, he does not take up his cross and come after him, he cannot be his disciple. So penance is another key pillar to the church, and we have to learn and give up things voluntarily so we don't let our passions get the best of us. Because if our passions get the best of us, we're going to do things that are not good for us. We're going to overeat, we're going to become fat, we're going to become drunkards, we're going to do things out of proportion, and our flesh is going to rule our spirit. And we're going to start losing our temper, we're going to not be able to control all our other passions. So mortification helps us to keep our passions in check and helps us to become more spiritual. Mortification. So Lent coming up, these are some of the things I'm going to tell you what we have to do to prepare for Lent before it happens. And I would say definitely we should do, and that will start tomorrow now, a 9-day novena to prepare for Lent. You can make out whatever novena you want. I would suggest maybe just an Alpha, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, asking God through intercession of our Holy Mother Mary and any special saint you want, and we'll come up here to help us to make a good Lent. So every day you do an Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be for 9 days with the special intention that God would give us all the graces to make a good Lent and to stick to whatever promises we make to God, and he gives us the strength to be able to do it. So we're going to do a 9-day, all of us should do a 9-day novena. And it only has to be that. Sometimes people think you have to make all these long prayers and they don't pray at all. Or they have to make a big elaborate thanksgiving to God. A thanksgiving to God could just be one Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. That's all it needs to be. But it needs to be there. Sometimes you think it has to be this elaborate thing, so you don't end up thanking God at all. This 9-day novena, with this intention, God will give us the grace to be able to stick to the schedule of Lent that we're going to do. Now we're going to get into the practices. That's just preparation for Lent, so you're getting your mind set for Lent. During this period of time also, you have to start making up in your mind what you're going to give up and giving you some types of ideas in Lent, forms of penance. It's a form of suffering even to give up what you like. That's the penance. Okay, particular war games that I like or like to play, I will give them up on certain days maybe. You don't even have to give it up on all days. Now, don't give up recreation altogether. You should always recreate. The body needs to have that every day, but you can give up certain forms of recreation. And maybe on your normal fasting, you go, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to give up this war game. I'm only going to play a lesser thing, something different. You can give it up for all Lent if you want. Something that you like for Lent. Certain things that you like, you have to give up. A particular war game you play, particular movies that you like to watch. During Lent, we only watch movies that relate to Christ and the Passion. Also, on Sunday, we watch everything that has to do with the life of Christ, and then near the end, his Passion. Also, so giving up things you have to all think about. Things that you like, you have to give up. Give them up. You don't have to give it up for, you can even say, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to give this up during Lent. Or on Friday and Monday, but whatever you decide to give up for Lent, something that you love you have to give up, you stick to that schedule. And you make that ahead of time. You plan that before Lent. Now, Sunday's not a fasting day, so whatever happens on Sunday is really considered outside of Lent. So when Sunday comes, it's not a fast day. So these things that we're talking about apply to the fasting days. We also give up meat during Lent, to give you an example. We eat non-meat things 6 days a week, and on Sunday we eat meat. So we all give up meat here. But whatever you decide to do in that regard, you have to stick to your schedule. And that's what we're praying for God to make it. So you have to start already getting together in your mind things that you're going to want to give up for Lent. Okay. Now, the other thing that we do for Lent is one meal a day. A good substantial meal, though. Regular meal. So you can get yourself enough so you can make it to the next day. And that's what we do during Lent. We have our one meal at our normal time, which is whenever you eat. But it doesn't matter when you have it. Okay. But one meal. We do it at 4:30. And you'll see if you do it later in the day, it's usually better than if you do it earlier, because then you get hungry towards the night. But it doesn't matter, but you pay a price if you sometimes eat that meal too early, and then you might drag a little bit into the day. There's pluses and minuses to whenever you eat that meal. You know, I mean, if you fit, whatever works best for you. But we found, you'll find out, you can sustain yourself very well on one decent meal, you know. But we're eating one meal a day, and that's the way the early church did it. That's what's going to give us a lot of graces to do that. Now, when you're not eating these meals, you could drink liquids, juices, orange juice, grape juice. We never got this, by the way. We grew up when nothing mattered. There's no real fasting in our family. We didn't fast, period. There was what you called abstinence, and abstinence is giving up meat, but that's not fasting. Now, fasting, the whole thing was, all the kids can't do it. They can't do it. Train the kid when he's young, he'll grow up to be a soldier. God will give him grace. I mean, even when it's destitute, and the saints out in the desert, and all he's got is bread and water, God supports that guy like Paul the Hermit till he's 100 and something. And technically, by scientific standards of today, they don't know how that guy can live, because he's not getting all his vitamin C, and the vitamin B, and the vitamin E, and the vitamin G, and the vitamin Z, and he's not getting all these vitamins. So how's the guy living out there on a bread and water? God will then step in and help you. God's not telling you to go out and do a Moses, Elias type of fast where you don't eat nothing for 40 days. That's a miracle. God can do that. If he asks you to do it, then you do it. If he says, Richard or any of us, go out in that mountain and I don't want you eating 40 days. Yes, Lord, I know you'll give me the grace to do it if God tells me. That's the kind of stuff God's got to tell you to do, because that's beyond human capacity. But you could give yourself, as we do, like I said, we do the 3-day fast near the end of Lent. You can do a 3-day fast in the beginning of Lent. But the things you've got to start making up in your mind, things you want to give up, make your plan in your mind, set it in your mind, and pray for God to give you the grace and Blessed Mother and the saints to help us, and they will give you that help, and they will give you that strength to do that. But we need to do these things, and that will make your Easter all the more better. Because if you don't do a proper fasting, and all the great saints taught us, if you failed in your Lent, you're not worthy of the festival time in Easter. They wouldn't let them participate in the feasts of Easter, the ones that failed in their Lent. They said, you're not worthy of it. You cannot come here and participate in our great feasts because you did not do a good Lent. You know, and it would just drive home the fact, it helps us to show us too that our life is more than bread and water. Like Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, a man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. When he's talking about a woman by the well, and she says, he says, I will give you water, and you will never thirst again. He wasn't talking about physical water, because you thirst after physical water. He says, I'm going to give you, but he did mean it literally too. Why? He says, the water I'm going to give you is spiritual for your soul, to give you eternal life. So now, okay, yes, maybe you will thirst on this earth for physical water for a while, but when you die and you're saved, you'll never thirst again. Ever. Literally never thirst again. Not even desire. Have any of these urges that we, and these deficiencies we have now. So our life is more than just food. It's more than the clothes we put on our back. Our life mostly is our soul, our ability to reason and contemplate upon God. This is what's going to save us in the end. We have to make our spiritual life, our soul, rule over our bodies. Okay, so we can't. That's why you see so many people today, they overeat, they overdrink, they lose their passions, they're running, they can't control themselves, they fall into all perversions and lusts, because their passions and their flesh is ruling their spirit. And because they don't have God to help them, because they don't have the faith. Our Lord tells us, you don't carry your cross, you can't be my disciple. And St. Paul mentions several times about chastising himself and mortifying himself, or she's going to fall away. So we need to do this, or we're not going to go to heaven. So we just got to do it. And we pray to God, He'll give us the grace to do it. And guess what? When you pray for this, you ask God to give me the strength to do it, and to do it joyfully and cheerfully. And you will. He'll give you the grace. Because remember our Lord said about the old guy, he fasts and he wants to be seen, he messes up his hair, and he looks all kind of drolling. God said, forget that guy, he lost everything. Do your fasting in secret. Don't put on an act. Don't put on a show. Don't mope around and complain. God will give you the grace to do it. Alright, but what we're talking about here today is this is our preparation to make our plans for Lent. Now, we just talked about giving up certain things. And you can come up with several different ways to do that. You can give it up for all of Lent or several days during Lent, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. You have several options there. Now, the idea of giving up things, we spoke about that. Giving up things. The war game. Even when you're recreating normally outside of Lent, you have to regulate yourself on those things. If it's a day like today or a Sunday, you can do more. But during the weekday, I limit my recreation to an hour, 15 minutes the most. And then when I go beyond that, that's the end. You know, an hour and 15 minutes, then I will go in and do something else on that. But during Lent, you could still recreate. You should always do that. Your mind needs recreation, but you can give up certain forms of recreation that you happen to like the most and do lesser forms of recreation. Now, doing things. Any idea of doing things, okay? To give yourself some pain, to suffer a little bit, for instance. Scourging. When we talk about discouraging, we have that rope right here. This is not a heavy rope. But you don't have to, now, anything that you do to mortify yourself and to bring yourself pain, you don't do it to hurt yourself physically, so you got to go to a doctor. The church don't want you to go to a doctor. But you can do little mortifications. This is not really, at first you just do it a little bit. See? You whip like that. And you do it maybe 10 times this way, that way. And you do as much as you can bear. But you never do anything to the point where you got to go to the hospital or you're going to hurt yourself. Like just something, just idea. A little rope like this, a jump rope. You whip yourself. Now, I usually do that 3 times during the week or 4 times. But during Lent, I'll do it every day. Maybe 3 times a day. 10 times on one side, 10 times on the other. 3 times a day, that's 30. You know, you can do more if you want. You can do less if you want. That's what they call the discipline. They call this the discipline, whipping yourself. And it's also suffering like our Lord did when he was whipped. So you're taking on that. Another thing you can do is you can walk around without shoes around the house. I don't know about outside. You don't want yourselves to be getting yourself hurt out there where you got to go to the doctor. But you can walk around inside the house maybe, like, see, without shoes. Maybe when you get older, if your parents let you, but I don't want something to happen to your foot where you got to go to the doctor if you're going to cut yourself on something. But here's something you can also do. On a cold night, even if it's cold out during the day or something, you can go out and pray your office outside or just pray your rosary outside for 15 minutes and bear the cold. And then come in after that. You'll warm up again. But you're going to be cold for about 15, 20 minutes. So you can bear it. But you can put yourself out in the cold to pray prayers for, and then by the time you're done, you'll be shivering and a little really cold. But then, see, the monks, what they used to do when they would do that, after they would be cold and get that prayer, they would have a fire lit and they would go and warm themselves up before they go to bed. Because the problem I had sometimes when I get too cold, my feet would get so cold I couldn't sleep. Because my feet would stay cold for hours. So then I'd have to warm my feet up so I could go back to bed. So when you do it the right way, so it doesn't hurt your health, it's not that you got to go so far where you're going to hurt your health, but you can do little things like that. I'll go in town, for instance, here, and on a cold day, and I won't wear no coat. I'll just walk down there and walk back. That's penance. Just let the cold hit me without a coat. Put on a heavier shirt when it's real hot out and sweat more. See, these are all little things you can do. Little things. This is penance. That's what penance is. So I'll go, hey, it's chilly out here today, and if it's my day where I've got to do mortification, I take my coat off, and I walk down, and I walk back. Taking a walk is mortification for people. Some people don't like to walk or physically exert themselves. Take a walk. Take a little bit of a longer walk than you normally do for mortification. But these are just little ideas of things that you can do. You're going in to take a shower, all right? For the first 3 minutes or so, keep the water on cold. And then you're going to be jumping around, hey, and then turn it on a little bit off, see? We want to convert other people whom we love. We love all men. If we want to convert people, we have to suffer for them. It's not enough to pray for them. It's not enough. Prayer is number one. So if you don't pray, you're doomed. Because now you're going to get the grace to be able to mortify yourself properly. Prayer, learn the faith, mortify. If you don't do all those three, you're not generating grace to save souls. So as our Lord said, these are the three pillars. So we have to mortify ourselves. And you can think of little ways, like in the shower. You don't want to put the hot water on. That'll scorch you, you know. The cold water, that works. Oh, on a cold day. You just put that on for about 2-3 minutes, you know. Jump around. Maybe a little more if you want. And then you go, hey! And then you warm yourself up a little bit. But you don't just do it in the beginning a little bit if it hurts. Do what you can bear in the beginning. And God will help you go further if he thinks you should. You know, because there's a limit for everybody, but there is, you do have to do it. You have to give yourself voluntary sufferings. And then the other thing is, accept the crosses God sends you. You know, if you bang your head, you just bang your head, ow, offered up to the cross. Don't kid yourself. That gets a lot of grace. Always do it. Oh, I banged my head. Okay, Lord, I offer up to the cross. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to bear it. And then you walk and you go, okay, offer it up to the cross. Yeah, I offer it up. Oh, it happens all the time. My foot the other day on the thing. Happens all the time. Oh, okay, offer it up to the cross. When you start doing that, God gives you the ability to bear these pains without complaining. He'll send you sicknesses. He'll send you illnesses. He'll send you a cold. He might send you any type of illness. Offer it up to the cross. It's an opportunity for penance. Those are involuntary things that come your way through sicknesses, but even those are penances. If you offer it up to God and you bear with Him. So these voluntary penances too, though, you have to take on yourself. A scourging, walking around without shoes on, walking out in the cold. So you got to give up things you like, and you got to do things to bring yourself a little bit of suffering, a little bit of pain. You could think of things like this. When you're praying, for instance, we do this. When you're praying the rosary, and you find out this is not so easy. Not so easy. You hold your hands out in the form of a cross when you're praying, right? Like this, like a cross. And if you pray like this, you try to do that for about 10, 15 minutes. It's pretty rough. 15 minutes, real rough. You do it it takes the length of a rosary or a chaplet or whatever. We'll do it when we pray offices at night. And then you hold this. You say, Lord, I'm going to hold my hands out for 11 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you vow. Start out low. See how much you can handle. And then if you can move it up, move it up. And that's suffering. That's penance. You hold that out. And then it's a little bit hard. You're getting near the 11. You hold it up and say, give me strength, Lord, to hold this up for these extra more minutes. You do that. That's penance. Holding your hands out like that. You know, that's penance. You can come up, some people say little things, you can put like a little rock on your shoe or a little pebble or something. Not so it hurts you, but then you walk on it, it's a little pain. A little pebble in your shoe when you're walking, you know, and that pebble starts hurting you. Again, you don't want to do anything that's going to bring you to the hospital, but you put a little rock or a little pebble in your shoe so that it hurts a little bit when you're walking. Just, you know, and there's a lot you can do. You can think of a lot of things. You could on a hot days even, you know, you put on an extra heavy shirt when you're walking down there and sweat. Even exercising is penance. Exercise, and it's good for you. Now, all the stuff that we're telling you to do, by the way, also is good for your health even. All of it. But mostly because God's going to help you for your health, but also even in the physical manners, physical things that you do. Exercise is good for you. You may want to say, I'm going to run a little bit, or I'm going to do a push-ups or sit-ups or some type of physical exercise, which is also good for your body. All right, that's it for now then. And may God give us all the grace to make a good Lent through Jesus Christ our Lord, in mediation of our Holy Mother Mary, and all the angels and saints in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.